Turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 through 8. If you need a Bible, you can raise your hand, or if you want, you can just look at the screen. Romans 12, 3 through 8. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let's pray, and I just want us to pray together. I thought that was very good. Maybe we have some dark hands over our minds today. You know, as we come into church, as we come into the presence of God. And I kind of feel like that a little bit. I've been sick all week. And even today, just coming to church, I was so tired. And I feel like maybe there's some oppression. So if you could pray for me as well, just to have some energy. Pray for yourself to really have an open heart. So let's take a moment. Let's all pray together, and then I'll pray, and then we'll get into the Word. Father, I thank you for this time. Thank you that we can come and worship with our children, declaring who you are. And we thank you for the testimony of how you are at work in Japan and at work in Jungmin's life, God, and his family's life, God. We thank you for your faithfulness. And just want to come before you and give this time to you, God. We're about to open up your word. I pray that you will come, Holy Spirit, that you would release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this place, that you would give us ears to hear and a heart to receive, God, and our minds would be alert to hear and to receive what you are saying to us, and that the Word of God would really inspire us and encourage us, God, and move us. And I give myself to you. God, I'm feeling pretty tired today. I just pray for your strength, God. I humble myself before you. I pray for your grace and your strength to speak your prophetic word to your church and to do a good job. And I pray that you would be glorified in this time and that you would have your way with us. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. So we're continuing on with our series on spiritual gifts. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Sam introduced us broadly, you know, to the whole topic of spiritual gifts. And today, I'm going to be starting off this series by teaching on the gift of teaching. Okay, so we're going to look at the gift of teaching. Before we go there, though, just a reminder that the text that we read today, it just reminds us that we are one body, right? That's the whole point of all the teachings on spiritual gifts. The point is not to help us, you know, decipher and get an extensive list of all the spiritual gifts. The whole point, whenever Paul or Peter talks about how we are gifted in different ways, the whole point is we're one body, but we have different functions. We're gifted differently. And so we're not to, you know, compare ourselves with the other person or try to compete, measure, you know, who's more gifted and who's less gifted and am I more gifted than the person next to me, you know, and things like that. That's not what this is about. It's just we are one body, but we're different individuals and we all have different things that God has called us to do. We all have different things God has equipped us to do, but the gifts that God's given to us, it's not about me. Right? It's not about lifting myself up and trying to increase, you know, my value or my significance. It's not about me. It's about building up the other person. It's about serving the other person. So I want you to look at your neighbor. Don't look at them and think, am I more gifted than them? Instead, I want you to say, hey, good looking, it's not about me. Go ahead. It's not about me. It's not about me. You know, that's a big struggle for me. A while ago, we had a guest speaker, Pastor Christian, who talked about this idea of this unending pursuit for personal value. And that's true for me. I feel like everywhere I go my whole life, I've been looking for someone to validate me. You know, I'm looking for my value, my significance. There's a book called Search for Significance, and that speaks true. And I think it's not just me. A lot of us, we go around, we do stuff, serving, teaching, whatever, and we're looking for that significance, and we're looking for that value. And for me, this is how I look at it. Whenever I'm teaching or praying for someone or doing anything at church, I feel like there is this. It's blocking me, and my goal here, my lesser goal, is I want to do a good job so that I can feel validated. I want to do a good job because so that I can feel significant. But I know that there is a higher goal, which is to serve the body, to do a good job of teaching, to do a good job of praying for someone so that the other person will be encouraged and touched by God and God will accomplish his purposes. That's the higher goal. So I want you to, you know, I want to encourage you, if you are like me and you keep looking for that lesser goal, you keep pursuing the lesser goal, let's go above that goal. I always have to remind myself, hey, that's not my goal. I want to go beyond that goal. I want to reach the actual goal of serving God and of accomplishing his purposes. Okay, so it's not about you, it's not about me, it's about serving one another. So we're going to talk about teaching. What is the gift of teaching? What is the gift of teaching? I have it up on the board, on the screen. This is how I would describe it. The desire and ability to effectively communicate sound doctrine. The desire and ability to effectively communicate sound doctrine. Desire, that's important because I believe that's one of the ways we can identify our gift. Remember 2 weeks ago, PSM asked the whole church, you know, who has a desire to pray for someone for healing and to see healing happen? And not everybody raised their hand. Only those, some of us desire that, and PSM would look at that as evidence that maybe that's because that's the gift that God has for you. So desire is important. Do you have a desire to teach well? When you teach, when you're given an opportunity to teach or do something, kind of speaking somewhere or teaching something, do you enjoy it? Do you find yourself enjoying what you're doing? And do you desire to get better at it? You know, I think that's important. So desire to do something well, but also ability. Because obviously, there has to be evidence that this is a blessing to other people and not a burden, right? You don't want to be a burden. You can desire it very much, but if you really aren't very good, you would just be a burden to the church. So let me give you an example. Just this past Monday, I went to Super Park. I don't know if you've ever been to Super Park. What a fun place to take your kids, and even for adults, I think you can have fun. So I went to Super Park. I was with Pastor Kenny and his daughter and my niece, Caitlin, and my son, Joel. And we were there having a good time. And one of the games they have is this boxing game. And it's not really boxing. It's just this robot. It's this round thing. It's a robot, and it kind of senses you. It has a sensor, and it moves around, and you're supposed to knock it down. So Pastor Kenny is like, oh, that thing looks fun. You should go try it. And so I said, yeah, you know what? I'll give it a go. And we're all lining up, but the kids wanted to do something. So Pastor Kenny went by, you know, with all the kids. So it was by myself. So I was a little embarrassed. I was like, it's not a crowd anymore. So I'm like on my own trying to do this thing. And I know that I'm not a good fighter. You know, that's not who I am. So I'm like doing this thing, and I just feel so stupid doing it, you know? I'm trying to punch this thing, and it's not really working. And the whole time, And then I thought, oh, maybe I'm glad that Kenny's not here. You know, maybe I'm glad that the kids are not with me, because maybe that would have been even more embarrassing, because I know I just didn't look very good. And then I come back and everything is okay. Pete Kenny doesn't mention anything. So I thought, oh, maybe he didn't see me. I kind of thought that's great that he didn't see me. And I come into the office on Wednesday and Kenny tells me that, oh, I have a video of you. And And apparently he has already shown it to Janie and he's shown it to my wife. Oh, I was so embarrassed. And then we watched it together. And honestly, I mean, this is how bad I am. Honestly, when I saw the video, I thought, oh, actually, that looks better than I thought I looked. Like, that's how bad I was, because the video looked terrible. And then Pastor Kenny said, dude, you're not a fighter. You should stick to singing. So I thought, okay. But that's, see, you know, I'm pretty sure that if you're a guy sitting here, most guys that I know, we fantasize about fighting well, right? We all have a desire. No one sits there and your desire to be beaten up by somebody. Your desire is, you know, every boy, your desire is to be Bruce Lee. And you desire and you fantasize and you come across somebody that you don't like, you daydream about what could I do to beat this person down? And that's, I have a great desire to fight well, but if I were to try to bless someone by fighting, that I would be a burden, you know? That's what I mean. So in your gifting, if you're gifted, I think you have not only the desire, but you have the ability to do it well so that you could be a blessing to the other person that you are trying to, you know, serve with the gift. So that's true of every gift. Desire and ability is true of every gift, whether it's exhortation or prophecy or healing, you have the desire and the ability. But teaching specifically, I think, is two parts. Effective communication, effectively communicating something, and sound doctrine. Two parts. Effective communication, sound doctrine. Let's talk first about sound doctrine. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul reminds his spiritual son Timothy. He says, hey, Timothy, I need you to preserve sound doctrine in your church, primarily through your teaching, right? That's his goal. He's saying, I need you to teach. I need you to remember what I've taught you, and I need you to teach it to your church, because there will be all sorts of false teaching and doctrines of demons that are going to come into your church, and you need to preserve sound teaching, sound doctrine. So let's look at the screen. I have 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. We can't read the whole text. I'm just going to read two verses from there. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines. That word doctrine is actually the same word that we use for teaching. So paying attention to deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons, doctrines of demons. And then he says in verse 16, the last verse, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching, and to your doctrines. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. Okay, so for those who hear you, you're going to be a blessing to them. You're going to preserve their faith, their salvation. You're going to guard their salvation. So teaching, there's a desire. If you are a teacher, your call, your function is to teach. There needs to be this desire and also this ability to preserve sound doctrine, to do your research, to make sure you study the Word of God and you try to discern, you know, is this right or wrong? And I can say, our pastors, we do this, you know. When it's our turn to preach, we spend hours and hours throughout that week researching, and we're reading different books, we're online. Most of the times, we research so much that we have all these different things we could talk about, and the challenge is how do we narrow it down so that it's not a long message, right? And so I know that our pastors, we do this. If you're a teacher, you have a desire to make sure you get sound doctrine. Make sure you get the correct teaching. I have two examples of this from the Bible. First is Luke. Now, you may not think of Luke as a teacher. Luke may not have taught in speech, but Luke teaches through his writing, right? He is the most kind of, his gospel is the most comprehensive and most kind of well thought out, well planned out version of the story of the life of Jesus Christ. And this is what it says of Luke. This is what Luke says in Luke chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. You could look at the screen. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Look at verse 3. It seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things which you have been taught. See, it says that Luke investigated everything carefully from the beginning. That's one of the jobs of a teacher. You investigate things carefully so that when you bring that teaching to the church or to your small group or wherever you go, it's correct, right? That what you're teaching is according to the word of God. It's according to the sound doctrine of God. The second example I want to give you is Paul. Obviously, Paul is one of the greatest teachers in the New Testament, right? I mean, he's the man that first articulated the mystery of God's plan in including non-Jews, right? Gentiles into God's salvation. He's the one that taught that. He was the first person to bring that teaching to all these churches around Israel at the time. And this is what it says in Galatians 2, verse 1 through 2. Then, after an interval of 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along also. It was because of a revelation that I went up. And this is what he says. And I submitted to them. I submitted to the leaders of Jerusalem. I submitted to the apostles like Peter and James, the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. But I did so in private to those who were of reputation for fear that I might be running or I had run in vain. So what he's saying is, there came to a point where I was preaching a gospel to the Gentiles, but I came to this point where I thought, hey, is the gospel that I'm bringing to the Gentiles, is that right? Is this correct? Is this in alignment with what the Jerusalem church is preaching? So he was afraid that all of this had been in vain. So he brings that gospel and he brings it to the leaders of the Jerusalem church and he submits it to them for examination, for approval. And later on, he goes on to say that they approved it, that they said what you are teaching is correct. Right, that's also the desire of a teacher. You bring your teaching, you bring your ideas, and you try to verify it. You try to examine it and go, is this correct? I don't want to teach something that is going to be in vain. So that's what teachers do. Sound doctrine. Always longing and researching and finding out whether or not what you're bringing to the church or to your group is true and correct. Next is effective communication. Effective communication. I mean, this is the obvious one, right? The gift of teaching, of course, you have to be able to communicate all of that research in such a way that people will understand and accept what you are teaching to them. So I want to have a little discussion. I want you to look to your neighbor who you just said hello, good looking to. It could be two or three people. And just share who are some of your favorite preachers and why. Okay, go ahead. If you really don't want to do this, if you're here by yourself, you can think about it, okay? But if you want to take the opportunity to meet somebody new, you can introduce yourself and just share a little bit. Your favorite preachers and why? Okay, let's come together. Some of my favorite preachers that just comes to my mind is Tim Keller, right? You don't have to say yes. You don't have to agree with me, but Tim Keller. I also like Francis Chan. Francis Chan has the greatest illustrations, right? He has these wild illustrations, and when you look at it, you're like, wow, that is so profound, and it makes so much sense. And also, Peter Sukahira. Do you guys remember he was here last year, I think, and he taught, or maybe, was this year or last year? Last year, and he taught, I mean, he just gave us a perspective that was so profound. And you know what, the thing that I notice about great preachers, people that I think have the gift of teaching, is I just have so many aha moments as I listen to them. You know, you just listen to them, you're like, and just in your heart, if you're expressive, you might say it out loud. You might be like, amen, you know, or whoa, that's good. If you are Asian, most of us will probably inside, in our hearts, we're like, oh yeah, that was really good. That was profound. You know, I just have so many of those moments as I listen to Tim Keller, Francis Chan, Peter Sagai, and so many people. There's one person that I wish I could appreciate because I think he is so smart. Has anyone heard of this teacher, preacher, pastor, scholar, N.T. Wright? See, N.T. Wright, I feel like, is one of those guys that has done so much research, and I think he is maybe one of the brightest Christian teachers of our day. But when I listen to him, I just don't get anything out of it because it always goes way beyond me. So I think maybe for those of us that are more scholarly, you would look to N.T. Wright and say, yeah, he's a great teacher. But for me, I think he has all this knowledge, but maybe he's just not able to bring it down to a level where it is kind of accessible to everybody. Hopefully, you mentioned this other preacher that is in your life all the time, Pastor Sam. Right? Hopefully, Pastor Sam's name came out, you know, in your discussion from some people. Pastor Sam is also a great teacher. And I remember, I mean, I don't know when he said it, but he has an 11th commandment. You know, we have 10 commandments, but he has an 11th commandment, and this is for preachers, and it's, thou shalt not be boring. Right? Thou shalt not be boring. And I think it's true. I think that's for a teacher, effective communication. Part of that effective communication is to be able to engage with the congregation, to connect with them, and to speak in such a way that they can receive and understand what you're saying. I mean, the example from the Bible that I picked is Jesus. He's the greatest teacher. The greatest teacher ever, Jesus Christ. And it says in Matthew 7:28, when Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. You know, I can just imagine Jesus is there and he's speaking and the whole crowd is gathered. You know, when Bob Sorge was here last week, you know, I found myself, and I think it's because of his voice, right? Because he's whispering. And what I found myself doing is I would lean in, you know? I'm like, I just want to catch everything. I lean in so that I don't miss anything. And I can imagine the whole crowd as Jesus is teaching. Everyone's just leaning in just so that they can catch everything that he's saying. And then Jesus was that kind of a teacher. He told stories. He connected with the audience. He shocked people with some of his sayings. He had great visual illustrations. He helped people experience the truth instead of just talking about it. So all of that is good. All of that teaching, all of the gift in communication is good. But I think when it comes to spiritual gift of teaching, it's those things, the research, the extensive research, plus the skill in communication combined with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And when you look at Jesus' teaching, I'm sure it wasn't just that he had great illustrations. It wasn't just that he had the best stories, but he had the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon him so that when he taught, people were transformed by what they were hearing. And I think that's the mark of the spiritual gift. More than just a natural talent, more than just an acquired skill, it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is upon a person that when he teaches, there is power behind it. This is P. Sam's summary of Tim Keller's book called Preaching. I haven't read it myself, but P. Sam said, this is a summary, you don't need to read the book. So I just take him at his word. Difference between bad preachers and good preachers, preparation. Right? You prepare, you do the research, you think hard about what you're going to teach. The difference between good preachers and great preachers, anointing. Right? Do you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Maybe you could call it prayer, right? Because as you pray and connect with the presence of God, more of the anointing, more of the Holy Spirit will flow, right? So that, I think, is the gift of teaching. My next question to you, I want you to just kind of meditate on these two questions. Number one, do you think you have the gift of teaching? Just think about it. You don't have to answer me. Just think. And number two, do you want it? Would you like to have the gift of teaching? Would you like to have the gift of teaching? We have to be careful to not have this attitude of, well, I don't have the gift of teaching, so I'm just not going to worry about it. You know, I don't think I have the gift of teaching, so I'm just not going to ever step out and teach and try to speak to people and help people understand the gospel or the truth of God or whatever. We have to make sure that we avoid this kind of attitude. That's probably the danger of having a series on spiritual gifts, is some people come away feeling like, well, I just don't have the gift of healing, so I'm never going to pray for anyone to receive healing. I don't have the gift of evangelism, so I'm never going to step out in faith and evangelize. So we have to guard ourselves from that attitude, because we are all called to teach. We're all called to teach. Let me point you to three scripture passages. Number one, Deuteronomy 6:6-7. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. If you're a parent here today, you are called to teach. Whether you like it or not, whether you feel like you have the gift of teaching or not, you're called to teach your children the truth of God, the commandments of God, the word of God. So we have to step out in faith and do it. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And look at verse 20. Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is a great commission. Jesus calls every single one of us to go and make disciples by doing two things: baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe, teaching them to obey everything that Jesus commanded us. So whether we like it or not, we need to engage at some point in teaching people about the gospel, about who God is and what he has done. The last passage, 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart, and always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. It says, always be ready to make a defense, to give an explanation, right? That's a form of teaching. When somebody looks at your life and they see that you are different, they see you praying for a meal, they see you blessing your colleague instead of cursing them, they see you not cussing in the office, and they might come and say, hey, what's going on? That's your time to give an explanation, which is pretty much what teaching is. You're giving an explanation for your faith. So whether we like it or not, we're all called to teach. And I have two more passages, especially for leaders. If you're a leader, if you're a house church leader, if you're a leader of a ministry, if you're a Sunday school teacher, a youth group teacher, or whatever, SPU teacher, you're called to teach. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So Paul is saying to Timothy, whatever I've taught you, I want you to teach it to other people so that they can teach it to other people as well. As you kind of serve in the church and you grow and mature in your faith and you become a leader in the church, this is one of your jobs, is to teach other people. And one last passage, Titus chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Older women, you are to teach what is good to younger women. And I don't want to offend any of the women in this place right now, but let me tell you something that you might not want to hear. One day, you will be an older woman, right? As much as you want to avoid it, one of these days you're going to find yourself, hey, I am an older woman, and you need to teach what is good to the younger women. Just yesterday, last night, I was getting ready for bed, and I thought, oh man, I'm almost 40. And maybe 40 is not that old for some people here, but to me, I was like, oh man, I'm almost 40. And when I turned 30, I thought, oh man, I can't say I'm young anymore. But now I'm almost approaching 40, and I think, that's middle age. Right? I mean, we live up to about 80 years old. 40 is like middle age. I'm a middle-aged man soon, 3 years' time. So anyway, we're all going to be old eventually, okay? And when you're an older man, older woman, I think we're encouraged to teach those that are younger, those that are less experienced, right? So we all have to engage in teaching. So, you know, even if you feel like you don't have the gift of teaching, what I want to encourage you is just ask God for it. Just ask God and say, God, I don't think I have the gift of teaching, but I know that I need to teach at some point in certain contexts, in different settings, so would you help me, you know? Release to me this gift of teaching in these moments. Remember Pastor Sam talked about a gracelet 2 weeks ago. That this may not be your gift necessarily, but God can give you special grace to be able to, you know, operate in those areas. Right? So we ask for it and say, God, would you give me that gift of teaching so that I can teach effectively in this setting? Okay, almost done. I just want to share with you my own journey a little bit, and then we'll close. So when I became a pastor here at SP, it was a long time ago. I think like 12 years. Is it 12 years? Something like 12 years ago. I was a boy. You know, I think I was about 26 years old. And I became a pastor. And I can truly look at my journey and say, God equips the called. Right? You know that there is a saying, God doesn't call the equipped. You know, He may call the equipped for sure, but He doesn't only call the equipped, He equips the called. And I think that's truly been my experience. You know, when I became a pastor and I had to preach and whatnot, I had zero inkling in my heart, you know, that maybe teaching was something that I even enjoyed doing. And the only thing I can remember from those early days when I had to preach is I was just nervous. All I can remember is I was really nervous and I was panicking and I just wanted to do a good job, not so that I could be a blessing, but so that I could make sure I don't look like a fool. And, you know, it was all about me and just doing it for the wrong reasons. I remember talking to Pastor Sam, like, Pastor Sam, I'm just so nervous about teaching. And he said, that's because of your pride, man. You know, you're making it about yourself. So let it go. And I was like, okay, thanks so much for your encouragement. But I remember, you know, I was so nervous, but I did it. And I'm not saying like I'm so gifted in teaching, But I have discovered as I do it that I really enjoy it. You know, it wasn't too long ago that I had to teach somewhere. I think it was at a YWAM thing. And I think I was talking to my wife, and I just told her, you know what? I really enjoy it. I really like teaching and taking these things and trying to communicate it and convey it. And I just found myself really enjoying it. So that's just been my journey. You know, I didn't start off like, I didn't take a survey and said, oh, I have the gift of teaching. Okay, let me be a pastor so that I can start teaching people. No, I just became a pastor because I felt called, and I taught and taught and taught. And then I discovered that, I enjoy doing it, and I think there's fruit in my teaching, you know? So, you know, what Pastor Sam, I believe he said 2 weeks ago, I think it's so true. You know, he said he used to think we need to discover our gifts and then serve within those gifts. But I think the opposite is true. You just serve. You start serving and you start doing things. You start praying for people. You start prophesying over people. You start evangelizing. You start teaching. You start serving. You start helping people. And then as you do it more and more and more, you may discover that you're really good at it and you really enjoy it. How many of you here just can't stand durian? Durian. Oh, not a lot of people. Oh, I'm surprised. Most of you like durian? Oh, shocked. Okay. Because I was thinking some people don't like durian, but they've never tried it. Right? If I were to ask you, do you like durian? Your answer should be, well, I don't know. I've never tried it. You can't judge it based on the smell, so you got to try it. My wife was like that. She just couldn't have durian ever. She just avoided it like the plague. She didn't like it. But everybody around her, especially, you know, including myself, I like durian. So we would encourage her. She would have a little bit, start with durian ice cream, you know, durian pancakes, all the really sweet stuff. And then we went to Singapore and we had the good stuff, you know, like the quality durian. And now she appreciates durian. And I think it's like that. You know, whatever your area of that God calls you to, you know, let's stop worrying about, is this my gift? Or, you know, it doesn't fit within my gift mix. You just start serving and you start doing what is needed in the church. And you may just discover, like, oh, actually, this is my gift. If you want to be a teacher, if you have that desire and you feel like you've called to be a teacher, I just want to share with you 3 verses that are important to me as I engage in this gift, okay? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, just the first part. This is a verse, I used to write this at the top of all my sermon notes, just to remind myself. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If you are called to teach, whether it's in house church setting, whether it's in a small group, whether it maybe even to your children, or with the Sunday school or youth group, remind yourself, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. We shouldn't be just creating stuff out of our own mind and teaching it as the word of God if it isn't the word of God, you know? So we need to be careful with that. And similar to that, it's John 7, 16 to 18. Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him." It says, verse 18, keep it on there. "Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory." If you find yourself teaching, actually in anything, praying for someone, prophesying, and you want personal glory, out of that time, you want to be recognized and you want people to validate your significance and value, you're doing it out of your own. You're speaking out of your own. And we need to be careful that when we speak, the teaching comes from God and not ourselves. And there's another quote that also from Pastor Sam, which I think he also heard it from one of his mentors, which I always remind myself, preach to impact, not to impress. And that's a temptation with any gift, whether you're praying for someone or whatever, prophesying, there's always going to be this temptation, this lesser goal of impressing people. You want people to look at you and go, wow, you're really gifted at that. Man, you have a lot of significance because you're really gifted at praying for people, and people are healed through you, or people are ministered. You know, they're crying because you pray for them or whatever. And we have to remember, we are preaching, we're teaching, or we're praying for someone, we're prophesying to impact, right? To be a blessing to that person, not to impress. And one last verse, which I recently read last week, and I want to put it on my little, on my phone, under my preaching verses to remind myself. Ecclesiastes 6:11. The more the words, the less the meaning. And how does that profit anyone? Isn't that great? That means the longer you teach, the less meat there is, and it doesn't profit anyone. So with that, I'm going to conclude, right? Because I think that I've said enough. The more the words, the less the meaning. And how does that profit anyone? So we're going to stop here. I understand this is more of a teaching. We're not really, it's not really a message of response, but I want us to kind of just open up our hearts and maybe spend some time asking the Lord. And maybe God, you can ask God, you know, God, where are the places that I need to be teaching? You know, wherever you are, whatever position you're in, you have influence over people. And those are the people that you can teach, you know, the truth of God to, right? So let's pray about that, and let's invite the Holy Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit to really help us to teach well. And I'll ask the worship team to come up. Yes, God, thank you. Yeah, I believe you've called all of us to teach. In some context, in some setting, God, we need to teach. We need to make an explanation for our faith, or we need to teach the little ones, you know, people that are younger than us. You've called us to mentor them, to encourage them, to teach them the truth, to teach them sound doctrine. So I just pray that you would release to our church this gift of teaching. You know, we may not be called to be a teacher, to the office of a teacher, but God, we're all called to teach in some aspect. So I pray that you would release the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of teaching, Lord, in our midst, God. Thank you, Lord. And today we have the privilege of taking communion. And I was thinking, how do I connect communion to this message? And I thought, you know what? Communion is maybe one of the greatest object lessons that Jesus gave us to experience the gospel message, right? The gospel message that Jesus Christ, his body was broken for us and his blood was shed for us. And the fact that we partake in that gospel, you know, we're not just spectators of what God has done, but we are joining in. You know, we believe it, we accept it, and we are joining in that sacrifice and in giving our life to Him. So I think it's a great object lesson. And so we can, as we take communion, you know, we can think about, man, what a great way to teach the gospel. You know, what a great way that Jesus has given to us to help us learn and understand what the gospel means. So if I can ask the communion ushers to come up, please. Let me read to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 30. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number asleep." So let's take this time. Let's first just remember, you know, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. As you take that wafer, as you take that cup, remember how his body was broken for us, his blood was shed for us, and let's come before God in thanksgiving, in celebration, and just remembering his work. And also, let's come before God in humility and repentance. You know, as we remind ourselves through this communion of what Christ has done, let's examine our own living. You know, are we living for Jesus Christ? You know, we proclaim to be followers of Jesus, but does our life reflect, you know, that proclamation, that profession of faith? So the ushers will hand it out to you if you can just hold it in your hand. And just meditate and pray, and then we'll take it together.
Everything I need is in you.
Let's pray together. Thank you. Thank you, God, for this time. Thank you that you've given us this great an object lesson. God, hands-on illustration to reveal to us, you know, to help us understand deeper, you know, the gospel that Jesus gave himself for us on the cross. His body was broken and his blood was shed. And because of that, only because of that, as we partake in it, we are saved, we are healed, we're made free, we're forgiven. Lord, we want to, as the song goes, God, we want to remember, you know, declare that Christ is enough. God, in you we have everything we need, God. Thank you, Lord. Forgive us for, forgive us, God, for how we give our worship, you know, to so many other things, God. Forgive us for that, God. Today, at this moment, God, we want to bring our attention, bring our worship to you. We want to center ourselves on you. Thank you, God. Thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy displayed on the cross. God, we're not worthy of your love, God. Thank you, Lord. Let's take this together. This is the body of Christ broken for you and the blood of the new covenant poured out for you. Amen. Let's sing this song together. Let's really thank Jesus for what he has done. Let's come humbly before him. Let's declare that he is worthy, and let's give our lives to him.
decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning.
The cross before me.
The cross before me. The world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me. The world behind me. No turning back. No decided.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning.
The cross before.
No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me. The world behind me. No turning back. No turning back.
Oh, Christ is enough.
Christ is enough for me.
Jesus
is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need, Lord, is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need.
Yes, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Christ is enough for me. God, I repent. How often we turn to so many other things, God, and we forget that in you we have everything that we need, God, and you alone deserve our devotion and our worship. You alone are worthy, God, of our worship. So we just come, we give our worship to you. I pray for our church, God. You know, you call us to teach in various contexts. I pray that you would give us the gift of teaching, that you would give us enjoyment and desire, you know, to research and to study and to know sound doctrine and also to communicate that effectively to those that we're trying to teach. I pray that anointing, that gift come upon us, God. Thank you, Lord. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. If you want to receive prayer for anything, our well team is here ready to pray for you, so please come up. Thank you.